This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Then Malik Harrison, he started games for us before. He's played a lot of good football for us before. So I'm just proud of those guys, how they stuck with it. They stay prepared. They've been professionals. And I think those guys are perfect examples of everybody, man. Just like, man, I'm doing what's best for the team. And then when my number's called and I get my opportunity to go play more, to go out there and play good football.
That's Zach Orr, Ravens defensive coordinator, talking about two guys, Chris Board and Malik Harrison. And we talked about Chris Board earlier in the show. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Monday. NFL Lunch for you. Bob Haney, Vince Rod, and Nolan McGraw. Talked about Chris Board earlier. And by the way, Jeff Zrebeck's got the 18 unrestricted free agents. He predicts Chris Board stays. Vinny, you think right player.
Yeah, right player, right price, I think.
Now for Malik Harrison, 26 years old, career high in tackles, 54, a couple of sacks, 15 games, 7 starts, has reinvented himself. Might not be the sidekick to Roquan Smith on the interior. Remember, he and Patrick Queen were going to be the inside linebackers for now until the end of time. Not quite the case, but a guy that has found a role here in Baltimore to the point, however, as an unrestricted free agent, they can afford him. They want him to come back.
You know what? We'll see, like, if Anthony Weaver or Tennessee or Mike McDonald, if any of those guys were willing to pay him. But, I mean, he kind of is what he is. He's, you know, is he great at anything? No. But he plays special teams. He can come in on rundowns and play Mike linebacker because he can step up and take on. But anything in space, he's bad. He can line up on the line, end of the line of scrimmage and set the edge. He does that. So he's a versatile type guy that is limited athletically, except if he's running a straight line.
Jeff says he stays. That's the prediction.
Now, he was making 2.7 this past year. So we'll see. I would imagine that they'll draft one, but they got to have a veteran in there somehow in case Simpson doesn't step up. But with all the new coaches and linebacker and stuff, they're expecting Simpson to take another step.
Now, we're going down this list of unrestricted free agents alphabetically. Deonte Hardy, here's a homecoming that didn't go according to plan there.
No, Hardy won't be in that.
Yeah, 5 games last year. And
He's 27 years old. Give me a younger guy in that spot. That's what I would want. I don't know that Hardy really helps you. You know, I mean, he was a return guy. And even Harbs has said at the press, you know, we got to find that guy. So if they had the guy, they would say they have the guy. They got to find a punt returner, and Harbs has said that. Yeah. And he likes his running backs as the kick returner, so.
And Hardy dealt with personal issues, which caused him to miss a lot of time in camp, then injuries. So looks like Deontay Hardy, Baltimore kid, Curly, not going to be back. Oh, well, Deontay Johnson. I'm going to go ahead and say that's not happening, bringing him back. Because remember, Ravens signed him, and if another team signs him as a free agent, there's a chance it might be Lloyd Christmas from Dumb and Dumber, One in a Million, a chance they could get a comp pick for Deontay Johnson, who was jettisoned by not one, but two playoff teams this year, Baltimore and Houston.
I don't think he gets any money, Bob, and I don't think when free agency starts, he may be a guy that somebody takes after the draft to mini camp or once training camp starts. I wouldn't, why do I, and a new coach coming in, I don't want that guy, so it would take right situation, and he's already been through Tomlin and Harbaugh. I don't think he gets anything.
Yeah, this is a guy that refused to enter the Eagles game. And then when he went to Houston, was complaining about his lack of touches.
Yeah. In the playoffs.
Yeah, so come on.
Yeah.
Josh Johnson, 38 years old. He was the backup quarterback. He's an unrestricted free agent. And we talked about this last week. You know, you want to get younger at that spot. With all due respect to Josh, who's made a nice living as the backup quarterback guy. But the backup quarterback for Lamar Jackson isn't on the roster right now. Is that
absolutely
what we're going with?
Yeah, absolutely not. And Josh Johnson, I could see him probably being a coach, Bob. Got a lot of experience.
Josh Jones signed as a free agent last year, 27. Saw action at 16 games, but only played 46 offensive snaps. That's less than Ben Cleveland. And as he gets free agency, not a track record that says he'll be back in 2025.
Yeah, if he's back, Bob, it's probably after the draft type thing. If they didn't get somebody, he's 28 years old. He made almost $2 million. So hopefully they can find cheaper labor.
We talked about Patrick McCary earlier. If the assumption is, and right now it is, that Stanley comes back, then Patrick McCary probably leaves because they can't afford to keep him around.
Yeah. Unless, there was no action. But the kid's got so much versatility. I think he's going to get he was making 5.1 for the Ravens this past year, and that was rather cheap for what he does for a team. I would think somebody will grab him up.
Yeah, and his versatility, he's probably going to get him paid. And when the Ravens signed him to that, Swiss Army knife deal, he was one of the highest paid offensive linemen on the team.
Yeah, as a sixth man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and I guess he's due for a big fair payday, not that what he was getting was unfair, let's be honest here.
Yeah, some team, even like Kansas City, Bob, because he can go out and play left tackle. He can play center. He can play guard. I would think he's a valuable piece to somebody.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. NFL Lunch here on this Monday. Trayvon Mullen missed all of last season, injured reserve. Doesn't look like his return is imminent here.
No, I would think not. I would think, that's where TJ Tampa, and they'll draft another corner too. So, yeah, I think that they would move on from old Trayvon Mullins.
Patrick Ricard, age of 30, hits free agency here. What are we doing?
Yeah, Ricard's going to be 31. I would think that you'd like to keep him, probably like on a two-year deal, something like that. You would like to keep him just because, he's a 300-pounder, and he's very versatile what he can do from the fullback spot, from the tight end spot. He can line up on the line, play block tight end. He can motion. He can move. Yeah, I'd like to keep him.
Jeff Zrebeck, The Athletic, thinks he stays.
Yeah.
Because, fullbacks aren't what they were 35, 40 years ago. Steven Sims, wide receiver, return specialist. Return punts, final four games. When exactly Rick Upchurch was doing that sort of thing?
I would say he moves on. They gotta find a guy. They gotta find that guy yet. They don't have the punt returner guy. They got kick returners. They don't have the punt returner. And I think they'll want to get probably younger at wide receiver. Maybe one veteran guy. I would think, Bob, that, and we'll talk about him down the road here. about Wallace, but I think he may be a guy that they may want to get.
Real quick before we hit the break, and then we'll get to Tylan Wallace. This is a guy a year ago we were talking about maybe getting an extension from the Baltimore Ravens. Now at the age of 27, it looks like he might be moving on to his next NFL destination. A disappointing 2024, Brandon Stevens.
Yeah, I don't. Because we heard Harbs talk about him at the combine, you know. If he has nobody, which I don't know that there'll be a lot of teams that want him. I mean, a guy that can't find a football. And, you know, his target rate, they like to throw at him. So I would say not back.
Let's see. Allowed 65 receptions did Brandon Stevens, fifth most in the NFL.
Yeah. And if he comes back, Bob, I mean, he's the pigeon, man, because you had Humphrey on the other side who's playing like a Pro Bowler. So you're not throwing at Humphrey. You're throwing at that dude all day long. And then when you complete him or you're getting a penalty, he probably was one of the leaders in the league in PIs, too.
We'll come back, finish off the free agent list, unrestricted for the Ravens. Chris Bubaka from USA Today, talk NFL with him. There's a big fancy name, cornerbacks looking for work. We'll talk about that. Cincinnati's made a move on their offensive line. Cap casualty there. We'll talk about that, so stay tuned. Give you an Orioles score update against the Red Sox, already half inning in, as Charlie Morton was doing Charlie Morton stuff in the top of the first inning, and then another funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw before Inside Access takes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's over at 2 o'clock. Tylan Wallace, key contributor, and one of them, Adley just went yard, by the way, one to zip Orioles, bottom of the first down in Florida. But Tylan Wallace, 25 years old, he hits unrestricted free agency. 11 catches, 193 yards, that touchdown reception. Remember the walk-off punt return in overtime to beat the Rams a couple of years ago, but he might not be putting up Zay Flowers numbers, but he helps the team in a lot of different ways to the point where he's still an asset for them. Again, keeping in mind you got a lot of other people you got to pay here this offseason.
Well, when you look at it, you have three receivers right now on your roster, you know, with Walker being the third. All right. And Tylan Wallace, my opinion, I think he helps you win games. He's good on teams. He can return. He has been a punt returner in the past. He can do that. He helped you win the Cincinnati game, and he can make plays. So I think he's a perfect fifth receiver that is your team guy. And if you got to put him in, he's not going to embarrass you. You're not going to be like, oh, damn. You know, if he's got to go in, he's just not a burner, but he can catch the football. So I like Wallace to stay.
Yeah, so does Jets Rebeck. The Athletic predicting who stays, who goes with 18 unrestricted free agents. Brent Urban, been around for a while, 33 years old now.
Yeah, and going to be 34 here before we get started. So if he played for the vet minimum, Bob, and he's a rotational guy. If they don't draft anybody, that type of, you know, I mean, I'm not signing him like, I'm waiting till after the draft probably to sign him, if I'm signed, to bring a 34-year-old guy back.
Christian Welch, another special teams standout.
Yeah, inside linebacker. I can't have all my inside line, you know, I mean, Board, Harrison, and Welch, I mean, they're all good special teams guys, and predominantly Board and Welch is all about I can't have them all. You know, I need some guys that I'm developing to be starters. So I would say Welch, no.
Tre'Davious White, former All-Pro. Let's stress former.
Yeah,
former All-Pro.
I don't think he can run, Bob. That's the thing. That's what scares me, to catch up speed. I think he's really, if you're playing zone and those types of things, I think he's really smart. I think he's got ball skills. He's not afraid to tackle. Is he a great tackle? Not really. But I'm just scared of putting him on the outside and letting people run by him. So I want to find, he's 30 years old. I want to find somebody better and younger.
Now, last year, the Ravens danced the dance with Darius Slay.
Yes.
He wound up going to Philadelphia, did not go according to plan for either party involved, and today, six-time Pro Bowler was released by the Super Bowl champions here.
Yeah, and the Ravens had a deal done with him last year. They had a deal done, but then Howie never turned it in, so they had never really cut him. I guess they found out that the Ravens liked him and had a deal in place for him. So Slay started on a Super Bowl champion team. And they were able to pick up $4.7 million in cap space. I guess what you'd have to see, and I think he played fairly well, you'd have to see what the price is for him and then what the film tells you. But I would say veteran – Bob, I would rather have Slay than Tre'Davious White if it was similar price.
Yeah, Slay going to be 34 years old, would like to play another season here.
Yeah. And, you know, do you move him? The only thing is you want to, you know, with Humphrey, you want to keep him in the inside. You know, with Slay, you can only have so many guys that you want to put them all on the inside. You need the Wigginses of the world that can play on the outside.
It's 58-80, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Sam Darnold, The Athletic's Alec Lewis, reporting the two most likely landing spots for Darnold coming off his career year with the Vikings, Raiders, or the Giants.
Yeah. Who else? Yeah, I mean, those two are desperate for a quarterback. If I'm Sam Darnold, you know, I mean, been there, done that. Been to that same stadium, you know, opposite side of town.
That was a house of horrors for him,
yeah,
with the Jets.
I would think that I'd rather go be with Pete Carroll, you know, another SC guy, and where the coach is brand new. I mean, the Giants, I could go there and I'm going through it again. You know, a new coordinator, new coach. I don't want to do that. That would be my thing. I need stability. So if I'm Darnold, I would pick someplace that I can be stable and happy in for a while.
The risk, though, is what? You sign a guy like Sam Darnold for whatever money he's going to get, he's going to try to cash in. I mean, his track record says he's been subpar. And the last two games they played this season, he was subpar. I mean, they played against Detroit with a chance to be the number one seed. Got blown out, then got thumped by the Rams in the playoffs, and he did not play well in either game. I would be, if I'm looking for an air quote franchise quarterback, I'm looking at Sam Darnold going, hey, you had two premier opportunities to prove you're the dude. And you failed miserably in both of them.
Well, I would think, I mean, if you're his agent, Bob, are you looking for Baker Mayfield money? Like $30 million a year? Not because
no, you can't ask for crazy money. Yeah. No.
And I would think he'd have a shot at the $30 million a year, you know, and turn into Baker Mayfield. The thing with Minnesota is, and I think we talked about it last week, you look at the weapons that he had, and he had a hell of an O-line, good running back, good tight end, two good receivers, and then he held the ball too long still on some of those. That's what happened to him those last couple games. He was holding the ball too long. So it'll be very interesting because if I'm GM of the Raiders, you know, and you watch the film and you do you have concerns? Absolutely.
Sure.
Are you for sure? Nope. And I'd almost, Bob, I'm almost feel more comfortable for Aaron Rodgers for a year and draft a guy. I would probably feel more comfortable doing that.
58-80-105-7 the Fed, real quick. Get back to the Ravens. And we talked about, you know, Malik Harrison's free agent, Chris Board hitting unrestricted free agency here. Trenton Simpson was that guy, the inside linebacker next to Roquan Smith early in the season, played himself out of the equation. How big is this season for him entering year three? I mean, was the setback so bad that they have to now maybe look for another guy?
Well,
to fill that spot, or can you still salvage him?
I would think you could still salvage, but the setback was so bad, Bob, you fired the linebacker coach who'd only been there for a year, and he was with Roquan in Chicago. So that's how bad that it was. And I'm guessing they still – and Zach Orr coached him the year before, so Zach has a pretty good feel for what the kid is and what the kid can be. The thing that was a little disappointing is he got worse – as the season went along.
Yep,
that was the disappointing thing.
And got off the field.
Yeah, it was like, we're better off if you're not playing.
It's Vinny and Hedy, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk some more NFL. Chris Boombacha, USA Today. Orioles 1-0 over the Red Sox right now, top of the second, down at Sarasota. Charlie Morton is dealing right now. Adley Rutschman with a solo homer. Top of the first inning for the Birds of Baltimore. Felix Bautista makes his spring debut. Terps win on Saturday at Penn State. It's a win. That's all that matters. Now at Michigan, taking on the Wolverines Wednesday night. Michigan got thumped in the second half at home yesterday by Illinois. Tank Davis keeps his lightweight championship majority draw. Lamont Roach Jr., a lot of controversy surrounding that fight. He took a knee. Referee started counting. Then it went a knockdown. Anymore. What the hell? It is boxing. So the craziest things go on in that sport. But nothing like a guy in shorts and white Reebok classics throwing the sporting world upside down over the weekend.
Your sports information station, 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, 105.7 The Fan on this Monday. Orioles 1-0 over the Boston Red Sox down at Sarasota. Adley Rutschman, solo homer. Charlie Morton, 2 scoreless for the Birds today. Felix Bautista makes his spring debut. So we'll keep you up to date on that. If he's in the game before we get out of here, 2:00. Terps move up to number 13 in the men's AP top 25 from number 16. Remember, Kevin Willard will be joining us tomorrow at 10:30 on the program. But the NFL Combine is over. Legal tampering is a week from today. Got tag day coming up. Then the league year starts next Wednesday. So here to get into all of that and more from USA Today is on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, everyone, Chris Boombacha. Chris, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here in Baltimore, as always.
Good afternoon, my Baltimore crew. How we doing?
We're doing wonderful. All right. And before we get to the combine, because you were there and the guys that helped or hurt themselves, depending on what level of, angst you go there. But the Stafford news, Matt Stafford broke Friday that he's sticking around with the Rams, 2-year deal, an extension, a lot of talk maybe to the Raiders or other destinations. How did that news resonate? What does this mean for Las Vegas? Where does Sam Darnold now fit in to pecking orders for teams looking for a quarterback, an established quarterback? Not that Darnold's as established as Matt Stafford, but you get where I'm coming from here.
I totally do, and I think you kind of almost said it right there by putting Las Vegas and Sam Darnold in the same sentence. I think that it's actually kind of a natural fit for Darnold in the sense of, like, he's a West Coast guy. L.A. is not far from Vegas. Could be a nice situation for him there. I don't know exactly how he'll fit in with the Chip Kelly offense, but I think if I'm Vegas, I'm taking a pretty good look at Sam Darnold here. They also have the 7th overall pick. I've seen Shedeur Sanders mocked there a bunch. The prospect and Deion's son out of Colorado. So will be interesting to see what they do there. I never really considered them serious players for the Stafford stuff. But I think that as the week went on there in Indy, it became kind of clear that Stafford would be returning to LA. And yeah, this was probably just posturing by both sides there, the Rams front office and Stafford and his team.
Hey, Chris, is it pretty obvious that Brady is running the show in Vegas? And was he at the combine?
To my knowledge, he was not in Indy, but I'm pretty sure he was hanging out at his Montana vacation house there. And that's how the whole Stafford rumor, or not rumor, I guess, like the Stafford connection kind of came into play. But yeah, I think that he wants people to think that he's left less involved than he actually is. Is my read on the situation. It's pretty clear that he does have a ton of input and that he is his opinion is valued by Mark Davis. I don't think he's calling shots per se. That might be a little aggressive of a term to describe his involvement, but he's certainly giving his advice and the direction of how he wants to build a winner there.
Hey, Chris, wouldn't you say that legal tampering, it starts next week, but actually it's already over because it happened the whole time at the combine, I would imagine.
Yep, that's probably the worst kept secret in NFL offseason circles, right? Like, you know, that's how these things get done. So, yeah, I think the whole idea of a tampering window and whatnot is really just for show. And that, yeah, these things are well in motion by this point. There's a reason why every single agent goes to Indianapolis for that week. There's a reason why a lot of front offices and coaching staff are in Indianapolis for that week. It's the annual convention, as they say. So, yeah, I think a lot of deals that come out next week are already kind of at the finish line. And, yeah, there's also a reason why Adam Schefter and Ian Rapoport have a zillion tweets ready to go on Monday and then also on Wednesday once they're actually allowed to announce it.
Yeah, what was your what do you think is going to happen with the Myles Garrett situation?
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty interesting stance there by Andrew Berry to be pretty adamant that they're not interested in trading Garrett. It seems to me like that's a player that certainly will not be playing for the Browns next season. But I think I was saying on a different show Friday that I see that kind of resolving itself closer to the draft. Especially considering the Browns have the number two pick, not that they're going to go defense there, but I think that they have the ability to play their cards a little bit closer to their vest. And yeah, I don't know. If I'm telling you right now, I have a hard time seeing him being in a Browns uniform at the start of next season. Where that is, I'm not exactly sure. Probably somewhere in the NFC. I know that the Eagles have been linked to him. I know that the Commanders have been linked to him. It would be really interesting to see him on the East Coast here. And he wants to play for a winner, right? So that's his whole deal. But, yeah, again, I found it interesting that Andrew Berry was drawing a pretty hard line there in the sense that they do not want to move him.
Now, Chris, what about the Steeler quarterback situation? What did you hear at the Combine?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Russell Wilson back. Honestly.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's coming back, if I had to guess. I think they're running it back with Russ. I think Mike Tomlin likes him a lot. I think the Steelers ownership is satisfied with their levels of success over these past 8 years and not really winning playoff games. But, hey, a few wins every year and getting into the playoffs, I guess, is good enough for them. So I think they're going to run it back with Russ, honestly. I'm not sure that it's like a totally unified front there in Pittsburgh, but I think the head coach and the ownership want him back.
Now, if there was one guy that you said jumped out at you most at the combine or made the biggest impression or had the biggest buzz from the media, who was that?
Yeah, I'm going to go actually defensive back here. South Carolina safety Nick Emanwori.
Yes.
He was great. Yeah, he tested off the charts. I think he certainly played himself into a top 20 spot and was the guy that was kind of like a fringe first rounder coming in. But yeah, I think he's definitely going to go in those late teens now, in my opinion. He was awesome. Another guy that really stood out to me was Bashel Tootin, the Virginia Tech running back. He ran a 4.29, very impressive. And then the Missouri offensive lineman, Armand Membau, I think is how you say his name, or Membu. Sorry to Armand if I'm not saying that properly, but I think he's going to challenge Will Campbell now, the tackle from LSU, as far as who is the first offensive lineman taken come April.
Chris Boombacha, USA Today, talking NFL. Chris was at the Combine in Indy. How did the Maryland guys do? And in particular, Ty Felton looks like he had a pretty strong weekend for himself, didn't he?
Yeah, you could certainly put him in the winners category. And yeah, it's always interesting to see Mike Loxley's crew get some shine there. And, you know, Maryland has turned out a few good draft picks over the years. Yeah, I know Deontay Banks kind of had a down year with the Giants, but you know, he was a guy who had a really strong process between the end of that season and then his eventual selection there in the first round. So, yeah, I think Loxley, even though the program isn't always winning a bunch of games, they still do a decent job in development, and it's always a recruiting tactic they can use out there, especially in this NIL era.
All right, Chris, real quick, Jackson Dart, since Ward and Shador Sanders didn't throw, what did he do to help his cause? I mean, he's got a first-round draft pick name. Jackson Dart, is he a first-round draft pick talent, name aside?
I don't know. I have a hard time seeing him going in the first, but I can see him there in that second round, honestly. He's kind of emerged as the number three guy, even heading into the combine. And, yeah, I think that, like, you know, the recruiting profile will still mean something. The size, the arm are definitely going to be factors as teams are willing to look for some depth at that position, or even as a you know, potential challenger for a starting spot. Yeah, very interested to see how the rest of his process plays out. I think he interviewed pretty well with teams, I heard. So that always helps the guy during these processes. And yeah, I think, you know, you mentioned Cam Ward. I think he's certainly, like, elevated himself as the clear-cut number one over Shador this past week based on what I heard from teams that checked in with him, and his interview process was impressive, I heard.
Chris Boombacha, USA Today. Chris, always appreciate the time. Enjoy your quiet Monday. I'm sure it's very quiet for you. Have fun next week with the legal tampering and all that fun stuff. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thank you so
much. Thanks, Chris.
Chris Boombacha, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Come back, give you an Orioles score update. Spoiler alert, they're winning. We'll give you a score. Stay tuned for that. Then a fun house trip. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access, takes over at 2 o'clock here on The Fan. Allie goes deep, solo homer. Kerstad singled, advanced on a fielder's choice in a throwing hour. Scores on a sack fly, so through 2.5, the Orioles 2-0 over the Boston Red Sox as we're less than a month away from the start of the season at Toronto. Tony Taters will get his first look at his former team in his home opener with the Toronto Blue Jays. Tony Clark, head of the MLB Players Association, is at Orioles camp today, and he said the owners want a salary cap. And Tony Clark, we remain of the mind, as we have for the last 50 or 60 years, don't need it.
Yeah.
Don't need no salary cap. So it looks like, Nolan, that lockout you were talking about last week, it might be real. I don't know if it'll affect games played, but something we're going to have to, part of our reality again.
The fact that they're already leveraging stuff in this talk with the media, you know, seeking out the media to put these quotes out there and throw jabs back and forth, I think that tells you everything.
So there you go. Masson and the Orioles Nats have come to an agreement. That thing's settled. Basically, the Nats are free agent, if you will, after this season. This will be their last year on Masson. Then they'll pursue other, we believe, broadcast opportunities. What does this mean for Masson long term? No clue, but said it earlier and I'll repeat it. All this does is open the door for maybe the city of Baltimore get an all-star game after 2026. Terps take on Michigan on Wednesday, 6:30 tip. You can hear it on The Fan. Kevin Willard will be joining us tomorrow to preview that matchup, talk about the nail-biting win over Penn State. Terps move up to number 13 in today's AP Top 25. And Olin, anything you want to say to the people before Inside Access takes over?
No, a little surprised they climbed up to 13, Maryland, but we'll take it.
It's
certainly
funny,
take it.
They lose that game at Ohio State and they plummet. When they were underdogs in that game, let's not forget, and they lose on a 60-footer at home and they move up three spots. Bring it on. Jerry Palm still has him a 7, though, for whatever reason.
Tough critic.
Yes, he is. Funhouse.
Quick Draws, Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Speaking of the Terps, this texter here says, hopefully this past week, a bit of a wake-up call for Maryland after a pair of shaky offensive performances. Not exactly what you want to see entering March. My only worry during their incredible run is that maybe they would have peaked too early, but a win over Michigan this week would squash any doubts left.
Well, the good news is Miguel and Gillespie bounced back after rocky games against Michigan State. Got to get Julian Reese back into the offensive flow here. He's been scuffling a little bit. Did have 15 rebounds. Let's not sneeze at that, but we talked about it. The bench production is pretty much zero. Somebody's got to step up. Maybe it's Kupari. He lost 15 pounds when he had the flu, so he hadn't been the same. Even the bounce is gone because he's an uber athlete. Somebody's got to help in some way, shape, or form.
Now, if they beat Michigan, can they move up to 2?
They are 2 behind Michigan right now in 2. The standings.
And then, well, because then Michigan has to play Michigan State yet, too.
Right. Let's see. Another one here says Maryland climbing up a few spots. A pleasant surprise this afternoon. Maybe that shows the public perception still very high despite the Michigan State loss, the close battle with Penn State. Hopefully the committee, the NCAA committee, has the same mindset as the AP voters.
Yeah, well, as we had Jerry Palm on a couple of hours ago, he's not buying Maryland yet. He's got him as a 7th seed. In his bracketology, pretty much everyone else has him as a 5, which is a strong place to be. But 2 games left. Got to do a little damage in the Big Ten tournament, which has been somewhat of a problemo for the Terps since they joined the conference. They've never made it to the Big Ten championship game as a member of the league.
Over to the Ravens here. This texter says, I look at this group of Ravens free agents. I don't see a single name that I would be making a strong effort to resign. Stanley, not worth top 5 left tackle money. He'll prove it with his durability soon enough. Even before the significant 2020 injury that derailed his career, he would always miss games here and there with nagging stuff. He's not going to give you your money's worth.
Now, I'll disagree with that. I think Ronnie gets paid. I mean, he was playing for the money this past year, but he was at every practice. And I would want to. I would put something in the contract if I'm going to pay him a little bit more this year. That you're there in the off season, and you're there at the OTAs and the mini camp. I think, you know, what is he, 2 years now past the injuries? I think it's only going to get better because he's gotten stronger.
And one last text here on the Orioles. This one says, after being unsatisfied with their moves this winter, I can't help but feel myself getting hyped by every little good performance here this spring, especially Povich and Kramer this weekend, and Kramer doing it against an MLB-caliber lineup as well. Get me to opening day ASAP.
That's right. Got to let them play the games before you start putting them in the coffin here. Let things unfold. Over the next offseason, however, got to spend money. A lot of players on this team are either hitting free agency or they're signing one-year deals, so somebody's going to be spending some dough. Because they're going to need to just fill out a roster in rotation and sometimes in the back end of the bullpen as well. Felix Bautista, speaking of which, he'll make his debut today. Charlie Morton was outstanding. Sagano, he got himself out of a jam with a couple of Ks. So far, so good on a Monday down in Florida. We're back tomorrow. Inside Access coming up here in a couple of minutes. Just tuning into the program, as we said. Terps up to number 13. Week from today, legal tampering. in the National Football League. Will the Ravens be having press conferences in a couple of weeks? If you know what I'm saying, the league year starts next Wednesday, the 12th. Tank Davis, he's still the lightweight champion of the world. A lot of controversy surrounding that one. See if he runs it back with LeBron Roach Jr. And the Maryland men are number one, by the way, in lacrosse after beating Notre Dame on Saturday. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, Bob Haney, stay safe, stay healthy. Inside Access coming up next. For now, everybody, class dismissed.